Jerry Bader Show, 9:36. All right, I am trying to move on to another topic here, and not the gay marriage debate. But then we saw this on Fox News. Michael Sam debate causes co-host to walk off the set. And you're leaving now. I'm going to Midland. Let that be the new national password for storming away from a touchy conversation during which we are beginning to lose our temper. The show is called The Broadcast on KTXD in Dallas, which is kind of a countrified local version of The View. The debate, of course, is on the Michael Sam draft kiss on ESPN. Two of the co-hosts, Lisa Pinheiro and Courtney Kerr, are of the what's the big deal opinion. The other two, Susie Humphries and Amy Kushner, have a more conservative, outraged view. So this interpretation attacks her for leaving. Toward the end of the video, Kushner becomes so exasperated that she gathers her stack of papers and walks off the set in the middle of the conversation. Her parting words, I'm going to Midland. It all makes for pretty good, if not sophisticated, television. It goes to show you the lengths some people will go to place people with divergent viewpoints into a mason jar and shake it for ratings. All right, how long is it? Oh, it's 9 minutes, so it's going to be near the end of it. So we're not going to try to, you want to take a shot? I mean, I don't know exactly. All right, you're in the last 2 minutes. She's still there. So go ahead. This is the last 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Kissing his wife, would it have bothered
I would have said,
you?
Get a room. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see cake on your face.
So you don't want to see couples
other.
Make out on Nicholas Sparks movies?
No.
Like, you don't want to go see a romantic comedy and see people kiss? Like,
and where are the cameras when that's happening?
Is that
why the NFL players
ladies,
were kissing their moms?
Are we being completely truthful when you say that it would have bothered you just as much had he been kissing his wife?
Yeah, we would not be talking about this if someone kissed their wife.
Here's the thing,
when they got signed to the NFL, we would not be talking about that.
Here's the thing, my turn. Here's the thing. ESPN would not have aired any of it had he been kissing his wife.
Oh, that's right. There have been plenty of celebratory moments shown on ESPN at the end of football games when they go and embrace their wife after they win the Super Bowl. There have been plenty of moments shown. So I just want to make sure
agree,
that we're all being
can
honest.
We agree, can we agree that this was an opportunity to make news?
No, I think we can agree that we're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, we can agree that this was an opportunity to make news.
I agree with that.
Period.
But I don't think
he has every right to do whatever he wants.
That's not
my issue. He has every right to do what he wants. That is not my issue. I just don't want it in my face.
Well, then maybe you don't need to see romantic comedies where people kiss on television.
We're not talking about movies, and we're not talking about television.
You don't want people kissing? Like, people kiss all the time. Like, why is that
so awkward?
Don't
put words in my mouth. Why does she not have the right to say what she means without being slammed back?
I'm saying, why is that uncomfortable?
No, it's an argument. Why can't we just accept that she feels that way and leave it alone?
Well, I don't think that there's any argument about that. Okay, and you're going to leave.
No, I'm going to go to Midland.
Okay.
Well, I guess next coming up, what's coming up next? Do you know, Miss Lisa?
I hope it's something all right, that's enough. Motivating.
See, that she was being attacked. She can't express that opinion. However, I don't know that I would have left. But I don't know. I can't speak to that. But she was being attacked. And by the way, where she said, look, that this, you know, she was suggesting it was all orchestrated. Of course it was. Of course it was. That's why no other NFL team wanted to take him, because it's going to be an absolute media circus. On to other things. There was a very big event in Wisconsin politics this week, which the mainstream media is trying to downplay as no big deal. It's actually a really big deal. But when the news broke, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel tried to say, well, this is not real. This is kind of an anticlimactic court ruling. No, it isn't. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that kind of proves my point that the media has been trying to downplay this. Here's a follow-up yesterday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A federal appeals court sent a clear message to Wisconsin officials Wednesday to overhaul the state's campaign finance laws to clear the way for more spending by outside groups in state politics, and at least two Republican lawmakers are jumping at the opportunity. The decision also prompted a debate over whether it would further hamper an investigation already stalled into whether conservative groups gave illegal help to Governor Scott Walker and other Republicans, because it really raises the question now as to whether, even if the John Doe investigators are right and the groups did what they thought they did, whether it's even illegal. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester said yesterday that GOP lawmakers in his House have been seeking broad changes to those laws for more than a year and would pursue a complete overhaul of them in early 2015. The strongly worded opinion by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago has a limited immediate impact, striking down laws and rules that were technically on the state's books, but that largely hadn't been enforced since 2010. That's where they're trying to poo-poo the significance of this ruling. The provisions that were dispatched by the three-judge panel included the state's ban on corporate political spending, regulations of campaign-style issue ads in the run-up to elections, and reporting requirements on certain groups running independent ads. The Wall Street Journal has a piece on this today, pointing out that this is not a little deal at all. A federal court blows up Wisconsin's campaign finance rules. Harry Reid on Thursday began the Senate Democratic push to rewrite the First Amendment to limit political speech. That display couldn't be more out of step with federal judges who late Wednesday declared much of Wisconsin's campaign finance law to be unconstitutional. This is a big win for open political debate. We've been reporting how prosecutors in Wisconsin have abused campaign finance law to silence conservative issue advocacy groups, and we are winning that battle in court. But Wednesday's ruling by a unanimous panel in the Seventh Circuit takes apart root and branch the regulations that the prosecutors claim as their justification. In Wisconsin Right to Life v. Barlin, Judge Diane Sykes writes for the court that the state's labyrinthian speech regulation violates the constitutional limits on the government's power to regulate independent political speech. The 88-page opinion, joined by Judges Richard Posner and Joel Flom, is a tour de force that instructs state regulators and Supreme Court precedents holding that ordinary political speech about issues, policy, and public officials must remain unencumbered. Wisconsin's speech police have a long history of overreach, despite periodic brushbacks by the courts, including decisions in 1999 and 2002 striking down the state's regulation of issue ads. Yet in 2010, the State Government Accountability Board wrote a new rule to treat any ad that mentioned a candidate within 30 days of a primary or 60 days of a general election as express advocacy. That definition improperly regulated many independent groups as though they were political action committees. Wisconsin Right to Life sued to challenge those and other rules with the help of lawyer James Bopp. Among the laws struck down on Wednesday are the state's ban on corporate political spending, still on the books despite the Citizens United decision, the cap on how much money a corporation can spend on fundraising for a related political committee, and the requirement for lengthy disclaimers on independent political ads. The ruling makes clear that the indecipherable morass of Wisconsin campaign law is itself a burden to free speech, inhibiting, in particular, the small players who can't afford campaign finance lawyers. Judge Sykes goes out of her way to tell lawmakers to get with the program because Wisconsin law is in serious need of legislative attention to account for developments in the Supreme Court's jurisprudence protecting political speech. In other words, catch up with Citizens United. Lawmakers had the opportunity to fix the mess last summer, but backed off under pressure from the busybodies at the Government Accountability Board. That's an odious coincidence, since we now know the GAB has been assisting prosecutors in their secret investigation of independent conservative groups. Judge Sykes's opinion specifically mentions that Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm is a named defendant in Wisconsin Right to Life and thus subject to its injunction. Mr. Chisholm had been leading the illegal harassment of conservative groups. Governor Scott Walker and his fellow Badger State Republicans have been notably timid in defending the free speech rights of their conservative allies. They should take a sip of courage from Judge Sykes's opinion and cashier their campaign laws that have become excuses for inhibiting political speech that politicians don't like. I love that last line so much, I'm going to read it again. The last two lines. Governor Scott Walker and his fellow Badger State Republicans have been notably timid in defending the free speech rights of their conservative allies. They should take a sip of courage from Judge Sykes' opinion and cashier the campaign laws that have become excuses for inhibiting political speech that politicians don't like. That has been the biggest criticism. Scott Walker and Republicans have been largely silent on the whole John Doe travesty because they don't want to appear like they're trying to impede justice. Enough of this. And it's refreshing to see that at least one house in the legislature saying, yeah, we're going to deal with this and deal with this quickly. This is all part of the same broad strategy to silence the right. And you know what I think? I've told you, I think what's happened here in Wisconsin is more chilling, more draconian, more McCarthyistic, more Orwellian than the IRS scandal. But because it's limited to a single state, ours, and because I think a lot of people just don't understand it, it hasn't gotten the attention that it should. Now, I know I have spent a lot of time on the show in the last couple of weeks on this movement to silence conservatives, particularly how much of it comes from America's higher institutions of learning, its public universities. I want to revisit that in 3 minutes. I want to share some things with you, and then after 10 o'clock, I'm going to have a question for you. It's 9:48.
The Jerry Bader Show.